Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Maybe one thing that we would like to also highlight is that sometimes you don't have to have 100% the plan ready before you go. So it's you just need to know what your first step is. And from your first step, just start doing, and the second step will come. And you might not even know yet what exactly that step will be, but you might be surprised where the journey really takes you, as well as once you are really taking the leap and giving yourself actually this gift of time and the gift of exploring yourself and what you would like to do, you will be surprised how creative and motivated you can get to really continue that journey.
How you day? Hope you all are doing well. It's almost the end of the year, and I hope that means that you're ready for the decade. And I don't want you to just start planning for the decade when 2020 hits. I want you to start planning for the new decade right now. You know, your path to greatness starts today. It shouldn't be postponed. Never postpone a priority. Make a priority what it should be. Just that, a priority, okay? Don't make it an option, make it a priority. And today's guests exemplify that. They were in their cushy jobs and they were doing things that they thought they were supposed to do, society thought they were supposed to do, before they mutually decided that they needed to go tour the world as nomads. They are free spirits who were on a mission to see the world, explore the world, but also teach people about what the world has to offer. And to do that, they needed to step outside of themselves, outside of their comfort zones, and they took that leap last year. And it's been an interesting journey for them. The reason why I enjoy these types of interviews is because it reminds us that normal should be defined by us. We can continuously create the new normal. It shouldn't be what is said by society or what's said by other people. So as you're listening to this story, think about what you're going to make your new normal today and in the coming decade. All right? Love you all. Enjoy the episode. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of As Told by Nomads. And today's guests are Anastasia Schmaltz and Tomer Arias. Now, they're 29-year-olds from Amsterdam. I am 30, so we are very close in age. I just turned 30, so this is going to be a very millennial-based podcast. And exactly a year ago, they took a leap and left everything behind to travel the world without any plans for the future. Now, 1 year later, they have traveled to 18 countries and counting. It's probably even more now. And they've done a lot of soul searching and they've radically changed their outlook on life. Back in Amsterdam, they seemingly had everything to be happy. You know, the cum laude degree, careers in IT and health and tech, apartments in the heart of the city, great friends, even a boat to cruise the Amsterdam canals during the warm days. Wow. Yeah. But with time, they found that their lives were unfulfilled, and in their jobs and in their everyday life, they wanted more. And that's when they decided to travel long term, and they financed their trip with passive income that they received from renting out their apartments. We're going to be talking a lot about fulfillment, especially with the millennial generation, and how to work on lifestyle and money. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Well, the pleasure is mine. And just for everyone listening, they are in Mexico right now, right? What city in Mexico?
Playa del Carmen at this moment.
Okay. And then they're on their way to Medellin, but they've found some time to be able to talk to you all. So I'm very excited. But, you know, I read your bio and I was really fascinated with it, especially because you highlighted that seemingly on the outside, there are things that you both had that would be described as successful. But can you kind of tell me what really happened from your youth to really get you to that point, and then describe the turning point? Because I imagine, you know, youth, you probably thought, I need to do this because I'm supposed to do this. And then I'm also curious about what was the changing and turning point in your life where you realized that maybe what you thought you wanted isn't what you actually wanted.
Yeah, for sure. I think we have been going through quite regular paths, and probably a lot of millennials will could relate to that. So actually, when you're starting out, you're going to school, you finish school, you go to college, you kind of think about what you want to do with your career. It seems like you're following really a path like that is quite determined, and you know what the next step will be and what the next step will be after that. So we have been following that path, and everything was actually going very smoothly until we also started our first like big career. We landed our first good jobs and had, as you said, a good income, a good life. So nothing to complain about, actually, until we were a couple of years into the jobs. And then, you know, things get like routine, and you do every day the same thing day in, day out. And you start a bit wondering where your time is going. So, you know, from you start on Monday, suddenly it's weekend, then you again start the same routine, and it's just, the same old thing. And at some point we started wondering, actually, so really slowly, what it is that we're really doing. So if your days look kind of the same and you don't have really much to complain about, but actually all you do is work, we started thinking if we're really spending our time on the things that we enjoy doing. And we have been for a while already, actually, before starting our jobs, thinking about traveling for a long time. Like, we always dreamt about taking 1 year off. But we felt that there was never the right moment because, you know, you're working, and from one project, you go to the next, and then you get your promotion and you start a new thing. And there never seems to be the right timing. So at some point, especially me, I was running into some trouble of work-life balance. So I really felt like all I'm doing was working. And although I was enjoying what I was doing, I felt increasingly overwhelmed and feeling that all I do really is working. And I think, yeah, it's really important also to bring up the topic of millennials burning out and, you know, being a little bit overwhelmed and by the success that they actually have and that they aim to have. So yeah, we ran into that, and we thought we have to change something, and it seemed like a good moment to go traveling because we just felt that there would not be a time that we could really do it. So with the burnout, it was really a turning point that we said we have to go now.
Right. I mean, they call our generation the burnout generation sometimes. So that's interesting. Yeah. Well, so Tomer, tell me, were you the health or IT tech
participant? I was in the IT part.
IT part.
Project management, focusing mainly on agile way of managing projects.
Gotcha. Very, very familiar. So you listen to Anastasia say this, and she's starting to wonder about balance. What was your journey as well as you were getting there? Were you already thinking about the same thing, or were you a little skeptical?
Yeah, it's very similar. So, I mean, I also had the similar journey. It was like, go to school, you know, finish university, get a good job. And, you know, then that's kind of like what, you know, society kind of sets you up to, and you kind of feel like, okay, that's what I should be doing. So I was also following that path. And for me, it was less about the work-life balance. I think for me, that was fine, but it was more like the lack of fulfillment with what I was doing. I mean, I was working on various projects, and, you know, it seemed like I was doing things like as I'm supposed to be doing, but I did not have the full, like, I did not feel like 100% fulfilled and happy with what I was doing. And so I was a bit lost with, what should I really be spending my time on? Is this, I mean, this is paying my bills. It's a good job. It's, I mean, everybody from the outside, it looks good. But then really on the inside, I'm like, I don't know if this is what I should be doing. Mm. So that was for me the turning point.
Yeah, and I recognize that particular point because a lot of people go through that point. You know, people will go through school. Maybe they've gone to law school. They've gone to medical school. They've spent an exorbitant amount of money and their expectations from their friends, their families, and themselves. And then maybe in the last year or the years leading to that, they realize that this isn't something that they enjoy. But then there's that internal guilt where, well, how am I going to pay for my lifestyle? How am I going to pay for school? Or what will people think about me? And all those things tend to, I've noticed, take over our actual desires.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, and especially also the further you go, the more ambitious you get as well. So you start in the beginning with your first job, but then you want to have a better salary because you want to afford a nicer apartment. You want to, you know, go out with your friends and go to nice restaurants. Maybe at some point you think of more materialistic things. You want to have a nice car, whatever. So all those ambitions, they also come with then the obligation, as you said, like, how am I going to make that happen? And then you kind of find yourself back in this circle where you, yeah, do more of the things that you actually potentially not really enjoy in order to buy those things that you do enjoy. But yeah, we found for ourselves that it has become less like an unhealthy cycle for us. And we see that, yeah, this is also what is happening to a lot of our friends and
other. Yeah, I mean, there is now like this term quarter life crisis. So, I mean, you might have heard of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, everybody always talked about midlife crisis, which is a bit later and you're more in your 40s. But these days, that seems like the quarter life crisis, which is in your late 20s. So just after you actually, when you're just kind of really getting grasp of your adulthood, of being an adult, and then that's when the crisis hits. And I think that's the if we want to make it generic, this is like the thing that we experienced before we left Amsterdam.
Well, I love that you brought that up, but the reason that I'm even more curious about probing is because I'm curious about the listener who's listening to you two and who is one in awe of the fact that you let go of your careers and decided to travel, because it can be scary for some people. But I'm interested in those listeners who feel like they're at that turning point, but they just don't know what to do. What would you give as a piece of advice for people who are thinking about doing something that's finally for them, regardless of what society thinks of what they should do? You know, what pieces of advice would you do for, you know, would you give to people who are trying to find themselves?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think I like to use an analogy to a writer. So if you think of a writer, you know, it can be a successful writer writing books and, you know, hitting bestsellers several times after each other. And then at some point in every writer's career, I think they reach a writer's block. So they just cannot come up with the next book, the next bestseller. They're just a bit stuck. They just feel like the words just don't come out. And so going back to a millennial or somebody like us, it's basically you're the writer of your own life. You're the narrator of your life. You create your reality. The way you see your reality is the way that it will be visible to others and to yourself as well. So you follow a certain path and you get these successes. You finish high school, you finish university, you get your first job. It's all those successes. And then at some point you reach like a block. You just like, what is the next thing? You're not sure anymore. And that's the same point as the writer's block. And then I think, so what a writer would do normally is they would take a break. They would say, okay, I'm not going to sit in front of the computer anymore to try and type those words. I just need a break. I need to go somewhere else, focus on other things for a moment. And then they get their inspiration and their mojo back and they come back to their, to writing great books. So, for somebody that is now not sure what to do next and is having a little bit of this writer's block in their own narration of life, I would say that it's good to take a break, to take some time off to really just, without any particular plan, to just really discover what is it that you really want to do. And by taking this time off away from your routine, away from your comfort zone and the space that you're used to, this really pushes you to really think about those things and come up with those answers.
Yeah, well, you know, you're talking to a writer, yeah, so you were hitting you were hitting me in the heart. yes, I do recognize those moments of writer's block. I also find that it's helpful when you really reflect on your values and how you want to be remembered. You know, sometimes I think when we grow up in today's world, we live in a very conditional world. A lot of what we do is not as intentional as it is. I mean, people have told you what to do, you know, whether you accept it or not. And as you grow older, you realize, hey, I lived in this city because my parents were there. I went to this area because that was, you know, where my parents, you know, could afford. I had these friends because of this interest that I had. But what is it that I actually want? What do I like? And what are the things that get me going? What are the things that really annoy me? And why do they annoy me? And I think when you find things that you rant about or you rave about, you know, things that you love or you hate, you can find this intersection of maybe your passion, but also your purpose. Because then you start to see, well, this thing really bothers me and this is why. These are things I'm uniquely good at and this is why. Maybe if I connect these two things together, I can find that intersection. But it's a very, very introspective world. And it's also a potentially lonely experience because some people will start to alienate themselves from you, or you would need to alienate yourselves from other people in order to get to that point. And that can be scary for some people, but I do think it's necessary.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you do need to take a step away from your environment to really be able to think of those big life questions, because that's when you're going day in, day out of work and you're just too busy. And then in the weekend, you have some plans to meet friends. And it just seems like life is just too busy to be able to really take the time to really think about those things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, we have, I think we like to say yes, to think of those big questions of, you know, big existential questions almost. You need to have really the mind space to do that. And often it helps to have a change of environment. But mm-hmm. Of course, this is a quite radical step and maybe quite scary for some that are just feeling like they're getting to the point where they start thinking about those kind of questions. So what could also help just in the beginning is really try to create yourself an environment wherever you are in. That's just by really taking the time for yourself to spend, I don't know, just a simple things as an afternoon where you just take, say, hey, this afternoon is just for myself and I want to sit down and I want to create a bit of a, for example, vision board for myself where I ask myself, hey, if money right now was not an issue, what would I be doing today? Or if, you know, tomorrow would be almost the last day of my life, how would it look like? You know, these kind of questions that will really make you think a little bit outside of the box and outside of your routine. And of course, it's getting more, it's getting easier to think of really out of the box options once you're out of the box. But these could be small hacks on how you could do that also at home.
Yeah. And eventually, yeah. I mean, it does take some courage to change things in your life. You do need to, I mean, yeah, without courage, you will not really be able to change significant things in your life. You need to take a bit of a risk and have some courage to see how things will pan out if you change significant things in your life. I mean, that's the way it is.
You need to have the courage to be yourself. And you two talked about changing your environment, but you two didn't just change your environment. you committed to long-term travel. You know, I don't, you know, so please explain to the audience what long-term travel is and why you chose that path instead of short-term travel.
Yes, so a little bit to pick up again on the existential questions. We have been wondering how can we really get further from where we are now and really do finally the things that we really want to do. And for us, travel has been always something that we enjoy doing. We have been in our corporate life taking every chance that we had every weekend almost to actually go to a new place, whether it's abroad, whether it's in our own country. And it's been always a dream for us to spend a little longer time abroad. So it actually started when we were in 2014 taking a trip to Thailand. It's been our first trip to Asia, and we had four to five weeks there. It was just before starting our first big jobs, and we wanted to take this time to really have a big trip. And we met this couple that has been traveling for 6 months. And at that point, when we talked to them, it was just mind-blowing for us. We were like, oh my God, how can somebody travel for 6 months? This seems unbelievable. How do they finance this even? What do they actually do? Like, how do they get money? What is their jobs? I want to do this as well. So it's been something that was since then stuck in our head, and the seed has been planted. And this dream has been silent for years until, of course, we've been traveling, as I said, quite regularly. But it became more and more prominent, and we thought, how can we make this happen? So we just thought, if we don't really make a dream to a plan, it will never happen. And we started really planning towards it. I mean, one of the biggest questions was, how are we going to afford it? So we started making plans on passive income as well. And so we have been traveling now since 1 year. And funnily, it doesn't seem for us that long. Once you get into it, you're like, oh wow, a year has passed, and yeah, time is flying by.
Wow. You know, something that you said there, Anastasia, that's really important is turning your dreams into a plan, right? That's taking something that's passive and turning that into an active thing. And that's where a lot of people, you know, diverge, or a lot of people, fail to actually take action is, you know, when I was a kid, I always wanted to do this, or I always thought I would do this, but something happened. But you two decided to take that step. And then also you sketched out a plan. You understood the potential barriers. So the potential barriers were money and financing, and understand that. So you sounds like you two created a plan for income in such a way. And then you decided to take the leap. So with you, Tomer, as you were thinking about the plan and thinking about how you finance things, did you have enough savings initially, or did you already have ideas for passive income?
So initially, we thought we'll just save up enough and then we'll go for a year and see how it goes. But as we were working more, and we kind of thought, okay, it takes a long time to save up all this money. Do we really want to just go for a year now and spend it? And that's when we started thinking, actually, more, can we create some sort of income for ourselves during the trip to not just spend all our savings and have some, to take less out of our savings pot. And then we decided to invest into our first apartment. So this was also the apartment that we lived in. And in Amsterdam, the rent prices are quite high. So yeah, for us, it was a good idea to buy something instead of renting it. And once we bought our first apartment, we thought, oh wow, we're paying less than what we would pay if we rented. And that's when it kind of clicked, okay, so we could rent out apartment and earn some money for it. And then we repeated that two more times. So in total, we have three apartments that we can that we have some income from. It doesn't cover all the costs of traveling, but it is of course unburdening our savings and accounts.
So real estate was what the path you two took.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Real estate. And are there any other passive income ideas that you've noticed in your journey? Because I'm sure you've met other couples, other people who are entrepreneurs, or other people who are just solo travelers, but are just exploring themselves and exploring the world simultaneously. Are there any other ideas that you've seen or come across that have maybe said, oh, we should try that?
We actually were really curious about it because, as we just told you, we had our way of financing our travels, but we were very curious about how others do it. And we have been talking to many long-term travelers, but we wanted to really see all the options there are. So we've done a survey as well, and we asked long-term travelers how they finance their travels. And what we found out is, yes, the majority or a high percentage, over half of people are financing the travels by their savings, through savings. But besides like real estate that we used, there are a lot of people that are deciding to turn their career that they have at home to take it with them on the road. A lot of them become freelancers. They just look for remote opportunities and spend their time traveling or working while traveling. So a lot of freelancers. We have met a lot of people that have made an income through online businesses themselves. So including blogging, including marketing, or became coaches or consultants of some sort. So a lot of people are also working while traveling, and that is something that we feel could also resonate to with many people, or many people that are wondering how they could make such a lifestyle possible for themselves.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Motivate them to think about what is it that you're doing now at home, and could you transform it in a way that you could do that as a location independent job as well. These were the three main things: passive income, savings, and remote work.
I love that, because you're saying turn whatever it is that you're doing into a career, and we live in this global world, and it's very interesting. So if you think about, I don't know. I'm a writer, speaker, and consultant, for example, right? And the way that my career started, I'm not a citizen. I'm Nigerian. I grew up in different parts of the world. But when I was curious about what I wanted to do, like pretty much where you were at that point, I thought maybe I should launch a podcast to answer some of the questions that I had some curiosity about, but also create a platform for other people to find answers within themselves. But what happens is you start to build a community that you can take with you everywhere, and you can, you know, form resources for them. And that becomes independent, location independent, if I'm gathering what you're saying. And if it becomes location independent, you are able to not only be doing what you love, but you're also able to just tap into a deeper experience, because it's allowing you to grow long-term with your skill set, as opposed to forcing yourself to be in an industry where you're not happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and right. I think you got it right with your story as well. So that's another example. And maybe one thing that we would like to also highlight is that sometimes you don't have to have 100% the plan ready before you go. So it's you just need to know what your first step is. And from your first step, just start doing, and the second step will come. And you might not even know yet what exactly that step will be, but you might be surprised where the journey really takes you, as well as once you are really taking the leap and giving yourself actually this gift of time and the gift of exploring yourself and what you would like to do, you will be you will be surprised how creative and motivated you can get to really continue that journey.
Yeah, so you don't really need to have 100% clear how you're going to do it. I think that's something that a lot of people think, like, oh, I need to have it now 100% clear. And if I don't, then yeah, it will be too dangerous or risky. But if you start and you know where you're heading to, I think that you will get there as long as you keep your eyes on the target. That, you know, if you want to be location independent, that's what you want to do. Then just start somewhere and don't expect everything to align and work out from the start, but really take the time to go through the journey, and then you will fall into the right place.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. Now, you two launched Generation Nomads, correct?
Yeah.
So tell us more about that.
Yeah, so we launched Generation Nomads, similar to what you said. So we felt like there needs to be something out there that speaks to the questions that we had, the things that we were looking for. And that's when we decided, we're really passionate at talking about this topic. We meet people all the time and we talk with them, and we figured out, why don't we share this with the rest of the world? Why don't we just put it online, create a blog, and share all our thoughts and ideas and everything that we're learning from everybody that we meet? So we really created Generation Nomads with the belief that we can provide people a way to understand how they can do what we have done for ourselves.
And then, that's the fascinating part about this to me, is that you used and turned your research into a career. And I don't think a lot of people think that what they research can be a career, because when we started this conversation, we talked about the fact that many people secretly wish they could do more. And if you position yourself as a problem solver, you're essentially in a position where people will not only respect you, but you can build an audience. And that's the subtle difference. Any entrepreneur is a problem solver. That's what they're doing. They're solving a problem and making something easier for something. And so if you're listening to this podcast right now, I want you to think about a problem you can solve and think about how you can create a resource for people that need that. And then just stay consistent in that path. That's exactly what Anastasia and Tomer did here.
Yeah. Generation Nomads is really for those that indeed believe that success and happiness don't have to be two opposite sides of one spectrum. They can be combined, and you can actually do something that you love. So with Generation Nomads, we want to bring that message across, but in more practical terms. Educate and people as well as give them tools and resources to explore financial freedom, passive income, learn about the ways that there is to generate passive income, but also a location independent lifestyle in general, by providing tools on how to get remote work, how you can change your careers and shift your skills towards a more location independent skill set. So this is our mission, to help people really unfold their best life by telling them about career as well as career gaps, the digital nomad lifestyle, and also educating about financial freedom and creating a money mindset.
Yeah. Now, you two are originally from the Netherlands. You're Dutch both originally, or did you move to the Netherlands from another country?
It's good that you asked, because we're both actually not originally Dutch.
I never want to assume. So where are you originally from?
Yes, yeah, so I'm originally from Israel. Okay. So both my parents are from Israel. I was actually born in the Netherlands and lived in between the two countries growing up.
Yeah, I was born in Kazakhstan. And I have moved with my family to Germany when I was a child. So I grew up most of my life in Germany, and I have lived in several more countries until I moved to the Netherlands to do my master's degree, where I then eventually stayed.
Yeah. Wow. See, that's why I love having podcasts like this. So now you both obviously had to have some cross-culture experiences. What was it like getting used to nuance between the two cultures, your home culture and your adopted culture, initially at first?
So speaking about really transitioning from, or let me start differently. Actually, as I just said, I spent most of my life in Germany growing up and have been going through the educational system and my entire teenagehood, etc. Until I went to do an exchange year in California in the United States. And it's been always a dream for me to go abroad, but I did not expect that it would change my mind around so much. So I've got to know a different culture, but with that also developed a different mindset, if you can say, by really understanding, okay, there is more, or people do things differently than they do them in Germany. And honestly, after this experience, I was, I could not anymore truly picture myself staying in Germany, just because I wanted to see more. So I went to Romania, and eventually I went to the Netherlands as well. And I have to say, in the Netherlands, it is quite similar to Germany, but it's still very different. And I love this. I learned to feel most comfortable in really an international setting, because I enjoy this exchange of values, and I just like it very much when there are many cultures together. And I guess everybody that has been in an international environment, will be able to relate.
Well, you're hitting on a great point here. Before you can be a cross-cultural communicator or someone that understands effectively how to connect across cultures, you need to really work on yourself, do deep self-awareness, and understand what your cultural frame of reference is. Sounds to me like you were someone that thrives in an environment where there are multiple, this is an international environment, international transient feel. And so knowing that informed the type of environment that you then sought out. Is that correct?
Right. I just, indeed, I learned to see that I'm really the best version of myself when I am having a mix of different cultural influences and beliefs and values, because they make you think differently. They really challenge your perceptions as well as your ways of thinking about things. And I just truly enjoy that, the topics that come up. You surprise yourself of how you're mind and your way of thinking just develops, because you don't see things only from one perspective, but you try to identify and bring in identify with different streams and of thoughts.
The
more cultures you interact with, eventually the more, I mean, it kind of gets easier and more normal as well. Like, you really just feel like, okay, we're all different people, but at the same time, we're all people. So,
yeah. Tomer, Israel, then the Netherlands, were there any moments where you had an identity crisis?
I think I still do. I mean, it's, I grew up really kind of like half in between the two countries. So for me, it was like, in the Netherlands, I'm not really feeling Dutch. I don't feel totally connected to the Dutch culture. At the same time, in Israel, I don't feel totally Israeli, because I haven't lived there my entire life. So it's really like you have this, you're not from there and you're not from there. So you really ask yourself, well, where am I from? And you know, like, so in the Netherlands, I say I'm from Israel. And in Israel, I say I'm from the Netherlands. So it's kind of like, you really get the confused about it. But eventually, I mean, it's something to embrace. It's like, I mean, yeah, I can call myself a global citizen. So we're all part of the same round ball.
Yeah.
So, I mean, countries and borders, these are, when you meet people, these things are actually non-existent, because eventually when you have a conversation with somebody, it doesn't matter where they're from, but you can always make connections.
That's true.
That's eventually how I see it.
Okay. Okay. I'm sure there's another question that people are curious about here, and that is, how do you travel together and how do you work together? Now, in your situation, some people would say, I don't advise you to do any of those things for a long, for a long amount of time. How have you two survived? And you, it doesn't sound like it doesn't sound like I'm talking to ghosts. So you two haven't killed each other. So, so tell me.
Counting the days. Yeah. No, it's actually a fun question, and we get that all the time. Especially also, yeah, friends as well that at home. When they talk to us, they ask exactly the same questions, like, how are you guys doing it? I cannot imagine. And yeah, there are different sides to it. And for me personally speaking, I feel like I don't perceive it anymore, really, or I don't perceive it as we're stuck to each other. So of course, we are also in some way having an advantage because we are in a foreign country and we have nobody that we really know except each other. So you always have somebody to talk to. Of course, it can get a little too much at times, but we would recommend that, yeah, you just look at how it's going personally for you and take time off. So we met a lot of travelers that have really scheduled where they say we take days apart and then we do activities for ourselves and then we get together and
So there is no real magic formula or something that we can tell you. I mean, it's a personal thing. I mean, it's how you manage you. But I think, I mean, there are options as well if you're unable to spend so much time together, like Anastasia mentioned. Yeah, there's people that take breaks from each other. So, but for us, it just kind of works. I know we never really had much troubles. I mean, not more than you would have living at home, like normal life. So,
and actually, a funny story. We had friends that just recently left as well to travel for 4 months. And they have been as well asking, how do you do it? And have been a bit skeptical. And now just the other day, I was talking with my friend and was asking, so how is it going for you now that you're already 1 month into it? And she said, you know what? I'm super surprised, but we're not annoyed. You know, we're still making it. So, yeah, I think it's also turning out sometimes different than you anticipate from the beginning, and you just roll with it and see what works.
Well, that's so good to hear, because I know that that's one of the things that people normally are curious about, so it's always interesting to see. And I think it really comes down to knowing each other. I was listening to Will Smith yesterday, and he was talking about love, and he says he thinks people misdefine love, and it's really about listening, understanding, and validating, right? And you know, working on the expectations you have and understand that it's not necessarily about you per se, it's about the unit, and making sure that both people are able to thrive as themselves while you two find the intersection. It's very tricky, but you know, it's part of life, and how many people are willing to do that usually determines how many people are successful. So yeah. All right. Now, so Generation Nomads, what's the plan? What's the long-term vision for this? What do you envision for our generation? We are the next set of global leaders. So I'm very curious to hear your thoughts on these.
Yes, for sure. We believe that location independence will become bigger and bigger as we go in the future. So we're now already in the transition in the corporate world where companies are less hesitant towards offering remote opportunities. So we believe that actually our world will become more connected and less like location dependent. As well as, so that was for the physical generation of nomads, as well as for the more emotional or mental generation of nomads, we believe that millennials will, and generations after us, the generation will be even more self-expressive and looking for self-fulfillment, where self-efficacy will become more and more important. So we hope to be really there to help people really navigate through this personal journey that they have, but as well as through our world changing and really becoming more connected and self-expressive as well. So our vision is continue with what we're doing and see where the road will take us. So very, very curious what that will be indeed.
And just to add on that, I mean, so yeah, you say for our generation, how do we see the journey to self-fulfillment? And I think that it's becoming more and more acceptable for people to take those kind of breaks and to really take the time to figure things out for themselves. So just if we compare it to previous generations, maybe not the one just before us, but if you look a few generations back, I think that society as a whole was more focusing on survival rather than self-fulfillment. So people would get married much sooner, get their children, and work basically to support their household. And that was the main thing, to just make sure that, you know, to support your children, your family. And that's why you went to work and did all that. And I think that with our generation, we are taking more time before we start a household. And I mean, the average is changing. And I think it's getting more accepted by society and by everybody that people just take more time to figure out what it is they really want to do and where they're, you have to really find their passion and find a way to turn that passion into something that they can live from and support themselves from. So I think that in general, society is getting more accepting.
Yeah, that's true. And you two are leading the charge in that, Generation Nomads. It's generationnomads.com, and there are millennial writers as well as Generation Nomads, for our generation. And I think it's very important to distinguish what you're saying. You two are leading the charge in this. You are showing people that there are more options that exist. And a lot of the way we've lived have usually been defined by the times we've had. And so I think a lot of education was based on the Industrial Revolution or certain things that were happening in the background. And sometimes as we get older, as we move to the digital revolution, we haven't really adopted and adapted. So it's very important that we create flexible options for people to be their best selves. And that's why I'm a big fan of what you're doing. Where can people find you?
On generationnomads.com. That's our blog. And I mean, there we have all the resources, and there we post at least once a week a new post with some of our thoughts and things that we've learned from people we meet or from our own experiences. Other places, we're also on Instagram and on Pinterest. Both are at Generation Nomads. So that's the name is everywhere, Generation Nomads.
Generation Nomads, Instagram, Pinterest, and I'll make sure I put the link to the website as well. So the last question that I'm going to ask you is my mission statement reframed as a question. And Anastasia and Tomer, how do you use your differences to make a difference?
Good.
Yeah, taking a moment to think.
Yeah. Take your time. Take your time.
So I think what I would like to say to that is some people they might see what we're doing as kind of an escape from life. They might think that we just gave it all up. We left our careers because we were unable to continue what we were doing. And we would just like to say, I guess, what we've done is might be a bit of a different and a radical step, but it's been also a step that for us has not been an escape, but really actually the courage to focus on ourselves and give us some time to really frame our future and to make sure that we are reflecting on where we're going. So we try to take that personal story and the stories of many others that we have met, and to really make a difference for those that are at exactly that point, that are wondering whether this is it, that feel a little stuck, to really make the step and don't feel alone, that, you know, they have to power through. No, you don't have to power through. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, as you say, I mean, yeah, taking our difference to make a difference. So it's, I mean, of course, our story is unique and everybody's stories is unique, but we hope that through portraying our own experience, that others will be inspired to take their own unique story in some other direction that is, that makes them happier and basically unfold their best lives.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I love that. There you go. We've been talking to Anastasia and Tomer, and they are Generation Nomads who are on a mission to redefine how we see the world and also how we understand ourselves. Really, really thank you both for coming on the show, for sharing your story and just showing people that, you know, it is okay to do what you're not supposed to do. And just that little step that you took, and I'm saying little, as, you know, in a facetious way, just that little step that you took is what people need to do. I really admire what you two have done, and you took the leap, and maybe you didn't even know if the net will appear to catch you, but you just took that leap there. And thank you for just telling your stories and being authentic and just being who you are.
Thank you so much for having us. It was really a pleasure to talk to you, and yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
We had a great time in the call. It was really nice.
Well, the pleasure is mine. I know it took a while for us to finally get the call going, but we did. And thank you so much. Ladies, gentlemen, and gender non-binary individuals, till next time, use your difference to make a difference.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.